This is 7-5 Radio with Walter Yerkew and Peter Scoop Stanton. This is the radio show that will break your neck if your neck needs breaking. And here are the hosts of 7-5 Radio, Walter Yerkew, star of the biggest documentary movie ever made, The 7-5, and Peter Scoop Stanton, who starred in To Catch a Predator.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, one and all. This is Peter Scoop Stanton flying solo on 7-5 Radio on the Liberty News Radio Network. Mr. Yerkew decided to take some shut-eye today because he worked overnight, and he asked me to handle it by myself, which I'll do the best I can. Shortly, we hope to have our guest on today, but we are trying. We have some technical difficulties, as usual, but that wouldn't be, that's par for the course. Anyways, due to the coronavirus, yours truly has taken some precautions for the 7-5 Radio family. I am doing this show with a condom over this microphone. So if I sound a little different, because I'm taking precautions protecting you. Four-story business, like always, we want to remember law enforcement members killed in the line of duty. First, we want to remember police officer Brent Scrimshire of the Hot Springs, Arkansas Police Department. End of watch, March 10th, 2020. He was shot and killed during a traffic stop. The perp that shot him was also shot, and unfortunately, he's still alive. Also, we want to remember police officer James O'Connor of the Philadelphia Police Department, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. End of watch, March 13th, 2020. He was shot and killed in a SWAT operation. Unknown status of the offender. Anyways, folks, if unless you've been living under a rock or just came back from outer space, you know, it's all about the coronavirus all day, every day. But anyways, my big question is, what the hell is wrong with you people? So far, 4,200 plus people have died worldwide from the coronavirus. Now, put that in perspective, 18,000 people have died from the flu in the United States since October 2019. And that's nothing compared to the people that died in healthcare-associated infections, or HAI. A healthcare-associated infection is an infection one would get from visiting a healthcare facility, such as a doctor's office, a nursing home, a hospital, urgent care, things like that. So you have 6,000 people dying a month from going to the hospital or being under the care of a medical professional. Meanwhile, you have 4,000 people worldwide died from this coronavirus. We have about 40 deaths in the United States. 40 deaths in the United States from coronavirus, 18,000 from the flu. And since this is March, 18,000 this year alone from healthcare-associated infections. But, of course, the media does not let a good crisis go to waste. Since this discovery of the coronavirus 19, the following has happened. The NBA, NHL has postponed the season. The NCAA has scrapped their March Madness, which brings in millions and millions of dollars for the schools and for everybody involved with the NCAA March Madness. The Dow Jones has dropped approximately 6,000 points. St. Patrick's Day parades have been canceled. Colleges are now giving classes online. The NASCAR tracks will be empty. They'll have races, but the stands will be empty. Schools are closing. Elementary schools all over the country are closing. Maryland has decided to close all their schools. Washington State decided to close all those schools. And various counties around the nation are also closing their schools for no reason. Anyways, also, you have New Rochelle, New York is on lockdown. They don't say it's a lockdown, but they have National Guard troops on the scene. The White House, Capitol Hill, and the Pentagon have stopped public tours. And to the detriment of one James Edwards, Disney World, Disneyland, and all associated theme parks have been closed. Also in Washington, D.C., the Arlington Cemetery Station has been closed, and the train station leading to Arlington Cemetery Arlington Cemetery has also been closed. So, anyways, the biggest Whiskey Tango Foxtrot moment is that people are buying toilet paper, paper towels, hand sanitizer, and cleaning products, like the nuclear warheads are less than 20,000 feet over our heads. Now, this has been called a pandemic by the CDC, the WHO, but I just call it a panic. And what's the reason for the panic? Simple, the media. The media has created nothing but a feeding frenzy. In Australia, people started buying toilet paper for in bulk for no apparent reason. The media reported on it, and now toilet paper in the U.S. is very scarce. And guess what? The media reports are run on toilet paper. Ditto on Purell. I went to two stores yesterday, and guess what? Both stores, one including a Walmart, which is they do very well in terms of logistics getting products to stores. They were out. And this other grocery store around the corner, they were also out. And people just buying it in bulk. Last I heard, the coronavirus does not cause massive diarrhea or massive dysentery. So people are just, they saw it on TV, so now they're buying it in bulk. Fortunately, here at the Stanton household, Mrs. Stanton always keeps a lot of toilet paper on hand, so we are good to go. But that's the media for you. So now people see that things are shutting down. The stock market is falling. There's no toilet paper, and they panic. So what do they do? They go to the local news. So the local news says, reports, again, everything's shutting down. Schools are shutting down. People are running to the store, stocking up on toilet paper and paper towels and Purell. And there's lines getting to get into a Costco, and they're rationing toilet paper, so people panic even more. And it's a cycle. And don't look for the media to celebrate when either a cure has found or the coronavirus shot is discovered or manufactured, because with viruses, once again with viruses, you have there's no cure for it. You can't give an antibiotic. It's like the flu shot. You make it create a vaccine from the coronavirus, and you give it to people to prevent the coronavirus. It's like giving you a little bit of coronavirus to prevent big coronavirus. But anyways, the media just loves this. Until we have another September 11th or something else, they're going to keep on reporting it, because that's what they do. And they should be absolutely ashamed of themselves. But again, they have no shame. But anyways, we're coming to our first break. We'll talk about the one normal person in all of this other than President Trump. Stay tuned, everybody. Hopefully we'll also get our guests on the line.
As the United States boldly stepped forward in the glorious light provided by its new Constitution in 1787, the nations of the earth were in awe of the newfound strength and hope of this free land. Today, the nation stands at a crossroads. A divergence from the original intent put forth in the United States Constitution has brought grave threats to our beloved nation. A miracle is needed if the United States is to survive. That miracle is, again, the pure application of the United States Constitution. I'm Scott Bradley. In my To Preserve the Nation book and lecture series, I bring forth truths that will help raise up a new generation of statesmen like those noble Americans who founded this land. Vigorous application of these principles will invigorate and restore the nation, and we may become again the freest, most prosperous, most respected, and happiest nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com to begin that restoration.
Okay, girls, about finished with your lesson on money?
Daddy, what is a buy-sell spread for gold coins?
Well, when you sell a gold coin to a coin shop that's worth, say, $1,200, you don't actually get $1,200. But don't worry, we're members of UPMA now, so we don't have to worry about that.
Daddy, what if somebody steals our gold?
We don't have any gold at the house. It's stored safely in the UPMA vault, securely and insured.
But the S&P 500 outperformed gold. Daddy, gold is a bad investment.
Some people do think of it that way, but actually, gold is money. And as members of the United Precious Metals Association, we can use our gold at any store, just like a credit card. Or I can ask them to drop it right into Mommy and Daddy's bank account, because we're a UPMA member family. Find out more at upma.org. That's upma.org.
So, you love talk radio, then you'll love TalkStreamLive.com. TalkStream Live is always on, 24-7, with the best streaming talk shows. Find your favorite talkers and discover some new ones. It's free, readily available online or on mobile with any smartphone or tablet. Finding your favorite talk shows all in one place has gotten a whole lot easier. Just go to TalkStreamLive.com. Be sure to download the free apps from Google Play or the iTunes App Store.
TalkRight, the conservative app offered by TalkStream Live that caters exclusively to the conservative talk radio community. Here you'll see only talk shows and podcasts from the conservative right, all the big broadcast names and online digital shows in one place. TalkRight makes it easy to find all your favorite conservative talkers with all the upscale features you come to expect from TalkStream Live. Keep up with the fast-paced political world. Download TalkRight today from Google Play or the App Store.
You're back, and Scoop is just getting back from posting insults on Twitter. This is still 7-5 Radio.
And we are back. We do have our guest on the line. It is retired New York City police officer Joe Johnson. He also produced the short film Every 58 Hour. How are we doing today, Joe?
Good. I'm here in sunny Florida. I'm sorry if you other people are freezing your ass off somewhere up north or out west, but shit happens.
Hey, Joe, remember, we are on FCC licensed radio. Please, you got your little ones listening and big ones listening.
I forgot there's no 7-second delay.
Right. And, well, anyways, please remember that. Next time. But anyways, Joe, I just talked about the coronavirus, how everybody's, it's a panic, not a pandemic. Everybody's just in a frenzy thanks to the news media just recycling the same old thing and the people buying toilet paper. What's going on in your neck of the woods down in Florida? What's your opinion?
Well, people are crazy down here. They've canceled the St. Patrick's Day parades in Hollywood, Florida and Lauderdale, Florida. The NYPD band, the Pipes and Drums band, is down here. They play every, and they appear at two local establishments, you know, after hours. But the parades were canceled, so the band is, you know, at their hotel, and they're just hanging out, drinking and hanging out. And now they don't even have to rush it back to New York on Monday, because Tuesday's parade and St. Patrick's Day up in New York has been canceled also. So it's like it's a good vacation for them. They get to stay and not rush to get back. But on the other hand, you know, the parade up in New York hasn't been canceled since almost the beginning of time. So it's pretty disheartening to see that these people are panicking the way they are over this. Chicken Little, the sky is falling. The sky is falling. We're all going to be dead in 6 months. I mean, this is ludicrous. These people are insane. The flu kills more people than this virus ever has. But everybody is, you know, for whatever reason, now they want to blame Trump. It's his fault, okay? It's his fault. Not the people in China, not whoever made that virus or whatever caused it to be created. But it's his fault. He's the one who's responsible for the entire world dying. This is insane. These people are just out of their minds. I don't understand.
Right. Now, did you watch Joe Biden early this week on Wednesday, or no, Thursday? He had a came out with a speech to talk about the coronavirus, what he would do, what the president's not doing. Did you happen to watch it?
No, but I mean, just to know what Joe Biden would say, the poor devil doesn't even know who he is, let alone he's going to be telling people what he can do. I mean, I don't think he knows where he is half the time.
Right. I watched it, and I was looking at it. I was like, what in the God's green earth is he talking about? But you're absolutely right. Everybody, you know, like I said before, the media's not letting a crisis go to waste. They can blame Trump. It's his fault. Like him and the CDC got together, some Army Labs or Walter Reed Hospital, to create this, ship it over to China and let it spread. But in reality, you know, thanks to our open border policy, we're letting these everybody from the third world just come on in, no problem. We got massive third world immigration coming in, and these people coming in with God knows what. Same thing with the open border. You have these open border advocates, and people have been coming over for years. And guess what? You have diseases such as mumps, measles, and rubella coming back with a vengeance. Kids can't start college unless they have a form that's a vaccination form stating that they did receive the mumps, measles, and rubella shots. I mean, we're talking about the mumps. This is like way back before World War II. In terms of the St. Patrick's Day parade, I mean, think about it. 9/11 happened, they had the St. Patrick's Day parade. Pearl Harbor was attacked, they had the St. Patrick's Day parade. You know, any act of God, they still went through the St. Patrick's Day parade. But again, everybody's just scared to death of something that they don't know of. And it's, you know, I mean, the coronavirus is out there, and, you know, it's deadly, can make you really sick, but it doesn't have a big kill rate. I mean, if you take precautions like everything else, then you'll do fine. So anyways, Joe, there's actually one politician other than President Trump. I think President Trump's doing a bang up job with his team monitoring this. But there's a mayor in Knox County, Tennessee. His name is Glenn Jacobs. He used to be a professional wrestler, went by the name Kane. So he made a YouTube video for the people of Knox County and just simply told them, listen, just take precautions. Don't worry about this and go on with your normal routine. And he said it in his office. It was we have it on our website, 75radio.org. And he said no reason to get excited. There's no cases of coronavirus in Knox County. And just don't listen to what the media says, because they're a bunch of you-know-whats, and just go on with your daily routine. And I think it was the most the smartest thing any politician said in a long, long while, because meanwhile, up in our former home state of New York and elsewhere, gatherings of 500 people or more are now prohibited. And this is a constitutional issue because, you know, people have the right to free assembly. So I understand it's a health risk, but again, people have the right to gather in peacefully. And your local hockey game or basketball game or football game are, you know, a free assembly. Go ahead, Joe.
Well, you know, you look at now, you look at all these liberal left-wing states like New York, Massachusetts, California, you know, and the governors and the mayors in those states are all now declaring emergencies, okay, a state of emergency. So, you know, the first thing they're going to do is they're going to demand that the federal government give them funding, okay, because there is a quote-unquote state of emergency. I'd be hard-pressed not to think that they are doing this so they can get money and it will go towards whatever they want it to go to, and not really for the coronavirus epidemic, whatever they want to call it. So, you know, there's a certain madness method to these guys' madnesses, okay? And everything will revolve around get Trump, somehow get Trump. And then if he says, no, you can't have it, okay, then he's trying to kill people. Yeah, it's amazing how these people think. When they did the fires out in California, and Newsom is demanding money, and you know they questioned him, says, well, maybe if you didn't spend $20 billion on the homeless and the illegal aliens in your state, you'd have money to fight fires.
Right. You know? It's so true. And what's funny is that the state spent billions of dollars for the homeless problem. Meanwhile, streets of San Francisco, Los Angeles are just, it's just one gigantic skid row. And I've been to Los Angeles.
How many germs and viruses are on the streets of San Francisco from people literally relieving themselves, okay? Number one, number two, whatever else they're doing, dirty needles all over the floor. This is crazy. They're out of their mind with this, saying this, that, and the other thing, but yet, you know, your city looks like a garbage dump because you've allowed this to happen. Now you want everybody's help, and you wonder why people are getting sick. They do this to themselves, but yet they turn around and then they're going to demand the federal government take care of them. Okay. I mean,
right.
If you go back and you look at the history of what Obama did when it came to this, he did nothing, okay? In his 8 years, how many pandemics or problems with sickness nationwide or worldwide came? He didn't do anything. He didn't do one-tenth of what Trump is doing as far as payroll taxes are going to be stopped so people can get paid. You can stay home. You'll get paid. Okay, billions of dollars.
Hey, Joe, hold that thought. We're gonna switch gears at the other side of the break. This is 75 Radio.
Proclaiming liberty across the land. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
It's been quite a week for Americans who've learned that almost nothing in their daily lives is not being impacted by the coronavirus outbreak. There are over 1,700 cases of it in the United States. Over 40 people have died of it. New Rochelle, New York, north of New York City, has the highest cluster of cases in the nation. And this morning, a drive-through mobile coronavirus testing facility is open there. This man was one of the first to show up.
Everybody's so afraid and paranoid. Like, my own family in Portis is paranoid that I may have the coronavirus, and it's so frustrating because I'm not sick.
A Philadelphia police officer has been shot and killed in the line of duty this morning. The officer shot while attempting to serve a warrant at a home. The police commissioner has identified the 46-year-old cop as a member of the city's SWAT team. And this is USA Radio News.
This is sponsored by Accenture. The 20th Annual Technology Vision Report from Accenture shows that although people are embedding technology into their lives more than ever before, organizations' attempts to meet their needs and expectations can fall short. Michael Biltz, Managing Director of the Accenture Technology Vision.
In a world where digital technology is everywhere, there's a tech clash between businesses and the technology models that aren't aligned with people's needs and expectations. To move forward, a new approach is required. Organizations need to focus on balancing their drive to create business value with their customers' and employees' values.
The report is based in part on a survey of more than 8,000 business executives and consumers. It identifies the key tech trends that will impact businesses over the next 3 years and counsels companies on how best to address the opportunities and challenges ahead. For more, please visit Accenture.com/technologyvision. That's Accenture.com/technologyvision.
The federal government's foremost expert on infectious disease, Dr. Anthony Fauci of the NIH, says coronavirus will be getting worse here in the United States before it gets better. But he says the cancellations and closures are a good start when it comes to combating the spread of it.
Obviously, what you're going to see is an acceleration of cases. What you hope to do is to get that peak become a little bit of a hump. Now, that hump's going to be still a lot of people going to get infected, but hopefully it will be much, much less.
Former Army whistleblower Chelsea Manning is now back home recovering from a suicide attempt in a Virginia prison cell on Wednesday. Yesterday, a judge ordered her release from prison. She had been held since last May for contempt for refusing to cooperate with a grand jury investigating WikiLeaks and its founder Julian Assange. The judge yesterday ruled that her testimony is no longer needed. And this is USA Radio News. We'll be right back.
Wow, you're still listening? Here's more 7-5 Radio.
And we are back. This is Peter Scoop Stanton. Walter Yerkew is taking some much needed rest. But we have on the horn a special guest, Joe Johnson, retired New York City police officer, worked at the infamous Fort Apache, the Bronx, to everybody else known as the 41st Precinct. Joe, we're going to switch gears a little bit, and this is why we brought you on, along with the your opinion on the coronavirus. We're going to try something new called RMP Confessions. Now, back in the 90s, you had a show on HBO called Taxicab Confessions, where people spilled their guts. But we're going to try a little bit different. We don't want to hear any, you know, salacious stories. Just tell more or less salacious stories in the back of a taxi cab. But just, you know, life experiences working for New York's finest or any other law enforcement agency. Joe, since you actually retired from the job and saw a lot more than I did, I worked under the Giuliani administration for a very short time due to my my indiscretions off duty. Go ahead. The floor is all yours, sir.
Well, I'm in the midst of changing gears, but you know what? You want to know what an epidemic is?
Sure.
In this country, the murder of police officers on duty. You had another Philadelphia police officer murdered today in the line of duty. Okay.
Yep.
It's almost to the point of it's less more than one a week. My flag in my front yard has not been lifted from half-mast since January. But nobody seems to care about that. You don't see the federal government coming in and sending in the Department of Justice to try and figure out why is there such an influx of police murders and shootings and killings in the country. But you have three people killed by the police in one state. And they're sending in a task force to investigate. How can this happen? So, you know, let's you know, you want to call a spade, okay? The murder of police officers in this country is at an epidemic rate, and nobody seems to be doing anything about it. So that being said, we can go back to being in the radio car.
Right. Well, actually, let's before we jump back in the RMP, let's go back. You know, I talked about this since December of 2015. You know, one of the reasons why there's a war on cops, again, just like the panic, you have the media to thank, and you also have the Obama administration. Because Ferguson went down, you had the Justice Department investigating Officer Darren Wilson, and they tried and tried and tried to find something to give him a sham trial, but they found nothing, and the grand jury exonerated Officer Wilson because, again, he was acting in self-defense. So you have that. Then you have the incident in down in your neck of the woods with was Trayvon Martin. First they said George Zimmerman shot him, and then they said, oh, this white supremacist, and turns out Zimmerman's mother is Hispanic. But, of course, Obama had opened his big fat mouth and said, well, if I had a son, he'd look like Trayvon. Well, okay, well, that proved absolutely nothing, and you hate cops. Also, Cambridge, Massachusetts, Professor Henry Louis Gates was locked out of his house, somebody called a black man breaking in. He fit the description because he was the black man in the house. Excuse me. So, anyways, instead of Mr. Gates letting the cops find out realize who he is and go about the way, he acted fool and get locked up. And then Obama said the police acted stupidly and they had that horrible beer summit. Then you have Dallas with those five cops shot on Fox News live. And you had Obama going to the memorial service talk about police racism. So, you know, there you go right there. And, of course, the anytime a cop shoots an unarmed person of color, guess what? It's all day, every day. But for this officer in Philadelphia, other than the Philadelphia media and this network, nobody's going to hear about it.
You know, even when you talk about the Gates issue up in Massachusetts, after Obama said what he said, He then turned around and said, but I don't know the facts. You just said, I don't, you, the police acted stupidly, but I don't know the facts. How can somebody who's supposed to be intelligent and gone to Columbia University and have all this education make such a moronic statement and then turn around and say, yeah, but I really don't know what happened? I mean, it just goes to show this guy and Eric Holder, even go back to Janet Reno, when the cops down here in Liberty City killed a guy, okay, four times they retried him until they were able to find him guilty, get a jury to find him guilty. Four times. Wow. The DOJ finally got a conviction on that cop after he was three times exonerated by the grand jury. They kept going back and back and back in trial until they finally convicted him. I mean, you know, I don't know what happened to double jeopardy there. I guess maybe that doesn't exist in the federal government. But, you know, who are we to question? You know, you question and the next thing you know, you got people looking up your tax records. You got people looking into your pension. You got people looking in to see, have you paid your tax? You see some of these TV shows and movies where they say, you know, these people are mean. They can actually make you disappear. Those people are there. Okay, look what that guy Plumber Joe did with Obama. How they went after him after he confronted Obama. They turned that guy's life upside down, and it turned out somebody, thank God, said what they said. But you know, you got these guys in the FBI with the FISA. I don't know how you can go in before a judge and lie on a FISA warrant, okay, and then not be convicted or brought up on charges or arrested. It proved you know you went in and gave a judge sworn to on an affidavit lies, and nobody's being arrested over this? Could you imagine taking a search warrant and lying about where you got the information from, going in, and then it comes out that you lied about where the information came from, but you lied on the application for the warrant?
Right, to a judge.
He's throwing you in cuffs in no time.
Yep. So, but you know, for the FBI, I have a saying: nobody in D.C. goes to jail. I can count on one hand the four people. I can name on the top of my head the four people who went to jail, because it's a huge cover-up. Trump wants to drain the swamp. Well, guess what? He's got to drain from both sides, the Republicans and the Democrats, because they all.
Oh, yeah.
It's just one.
There's no doubt. Yeah, there's no doubt of that whatsoever. Like I said, you can lead the horse to water, but you can't make him drink it. Okay, they'll stare in it and look at it and say, I don't know what to do. But yeah, okay. Don't do nothing then.
Right, and we're still dealing with the local, the D.C. La Cosa Nostra, known as United States Congress. But anyways, Joe, let's try. All right, let's switch gears again, unless something else pops up between now and the end of the show.
Here you go for a radio car confession. My partner and I, Bobby DeMattis, who was one of the most highly decorated cops in New York, along with like Ralph Friedman and Sergeant, how was his name? DeMartini. Bobby and Ralph had been in numerous shootouts. One of their arrests had gone all the way to the United States Supreme Court for a decision, and it was found in their favor. But Bobby and I were riding in down in the 401, and we're driving down Bruckner Boulevard, and do you remember the Moonies? Sung Young Mooney guys, they would stand on the corner selling roses and whatnot and to make money. Well, he pulls us over and he says, I just got robbed. Somebody stole all my roses. I says, well, how many roses did you have? He said, oh, I had about 5 or 6 dozen roses. I said, okay. I said, do you want to? He said, no, I don't care. I just want to let you know, look, I got robbed. Okay. So about 7 or 8 blocks later, we see the scale walking down the street with all these roses. Come over here. I want to talk to you. Now he's like, okay, where'd you get the roses? Where, you're a florist? It's 11 o'clock at night. Where, you know, are you going to the store? You're opening up the store now to sell roses for what, Valentine's Day? It's November, moron. Okay? He said, well, I found them. I said, okay, so it's found property. Okay, goodbye. Thank you. We took the roses. We put them in the trunk. For the rest of the night, we drove around, and every pretty girl we saw got a rose.
What about the Mooney and his property?
He didn't care. He said, "I don't care. I don't do whatever you want. I just want to let you know that I got robbed. Okay, the guy just took them from me." I said, "Did he have a gun or anything?" He said, "No, he just took. He strong on me." So it's okay. So he went on his way.
Wow.
But my wife, who's now an ex-wife, and Bobby's wife. Wound up with about.
Hey, Joe, hold that thought. We got one more break. Stand by, everybody. This is 75 Radio on Liberty News Radio Network.
Do we reflect about our future and where we as a culture are moving? Do we keep our trust in our jobs, homes, money, life necessities, investments, stock markets? Do we believe that our 401ks or other retirements will always be there and that the current economic order will recover? Is the economy going to recover and life return to normal? It ain't gonna happen. By a friend of Medjugorje, whether you are poor, middle class, or rich, it ain't gonna happen. A book of astounding revelations about the present economic order and where we are heading. It Ain't Gonna Happen by a friend of Medjugorje. To order, visit Medj.com, spelled MEJ.com, or call Caritas in the U.S. 205-672-2000. 205-672-2000.
Why don't we say to the government writ large that they have to spend a little bit less? Anybody ever had less money this year than you had last? Anybody ever having a 1% pay cut? You deal with it. That's what government needs, a 1% pay cut. If you take a 1% pay cut across the board, you have more than enough money to actually pay for the disaster relief. But nobody's going to do that because they're fiscally irresponsible. Who are they? Republicans. Who are they? Democrats. Who are they? Virtually the whole body is careless and reckless with your money. So the money will not be offset by cuts anywhere. The money will be added to the debt, and there will be a day of reckoning. What's the day of reckoning? The day of reckoning may well be the collapse of the stock market. The day of reckoning may be the collapse of the dollar. When it comes, I can't tell you exactly, but I can tell you it has happened repeatedly in history when countries ruin their currency.
Hey, listen up. This is a deep state alert. Former Texas Congressman Steve Stockman, who moved to arrest Lois Lerner for contempt of Congress, has been imprisoned by the very office that Lerner led. You heard right. Stockman hit the Obama administration hard, and they hit back with the full force of the federal government. The guy who said he wanted Mark Levin as Speaker of the House was the first to threaten Obama's impeachment, exposed Hillary selling steel to the Iranians, and blocked both Obama's immigration and gun bills from even reaching the House. But Obama holdovers came after him in federal court with trumped up charges and have locked our guy up. Like many others, he was on Obama's hit list. Steve fought for us in Congress. Now we need to fight for him. Don't abandon this wounded hero on the battlefield. Let's help cover his massive legal costs. To chip in $5 or more, text the word FIGHT to 444-999. That's FIGHT, F-I-G-H-T, to 444-999, or go to defendapatriot.com. That's defendapatriot.com.
This is 75 Radio with Walter Yuku. I mean, Walter Yurkow. I mean, Walter Kiwi. Here's Walton Scoop.
All right, we are back. It just Scoop. Walt is taking a much-needed rest. Here's some news that you're not going to see on mainstream media. Florida Democrat candidate for governor Andrew Gillum was involved in a possible drug overdose involving crystal methamphetamines at a South Beach, Miami hotel. Joe, you got any news on this?
No, he's a non-entity to me. I could care less if they find him washed up, half-eaten by sharks.
So, anyways, that won't be in any news anytime soon. But if Mr. Gollum had a R after his last name, then that would be that'd probably take over the coronavirus. But anyway, Joe, a couple of things we want to tell our listeners. First, an RMP is known as a radio motor patrol or a police car in the NYPD. Also, a skell is a undesirable dirty street urchin or just a real POS. So you're going to hear a lot of different acronyms and names and slang that only people like myself, Joe and Walter will understand. But anyways, you're saying about what happened to the road. Go ahead.
So the roses, every pretty girl that we saw, even the hookers down in Hunts Point got roses from them. You know, people that don't know the South Bronx, the 4-1. The 4-1 was probably the most notorious prostitution-prone location in the city, okay, for many, many, many years. On any given night in the winter or the summer, on the weekend, they could be anywhere between 100 and 300 hookers literally walking around with, in the summer, no clothes, just totally naked, okay? I mean, just totally, totally naked. And Hunts Point is a very industrial area, so there's not many homes or anything that would, make these people decide, we can't do this in front of this guy's house. But there were a few homes down there. A couple of the old brownstones were still down in Hunts Point. And boy, let me tell you, those people weren't happy, and they were happy when we would come down. You know, you just toot the horn or whatever. But a lot of murders, a lot of prostitutes were murdered, a lot of the Johns were murdered. That's why, one of the high crime areas. And then you have Hunts Point Terminal Market down there, which had anywhere between 7,000 to 10,000 truckers from all over the United States come in with fruits and vegetables. This was the hub, the Terminal Market, and then on a Wednesday and a Sunday. So you had all the truckers coming down. So there was plenty of work for these girls down. But, you know, like I said, it was a very, very notorious type area for prostitution. Even HBO did two specials. One was called The Girls of the Point, and then they did The Girls of the Point 10 years later. But, I mean, it was amazing how many guns we would catch when you stop somebody. My partner would just turn around and say, put the cuffs on them. Bang, and that was it. You know, you'd find the gun in the car. It's sitting on the hump for the transmission, or on the front seat, or it's sticking out from under the front seat. And you know, there were gun collars constantly down there. I mean, it was just amazing how many guns you would take off the street. There was one bodega on Lafayette and Hunts Point Avenue that was renting guns. When they finally hit the place, they probably, I think they confiscated like 300 pistols, and they were renting them out for crime, you know.
Right, and 300 hot pistols, too.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure, you know, and then, you know, the drug money and whatnot. You know, one of the funny ones was, I don't know, somebody grabbed like $18,000, $19,000, $20,000 in cash at one of these nickel bag joints. And, you know as well as I do, every bill had to be stamped, evidence. So there, you know, the two guys are in there, and the zone commander came in, and he said, oh, good collar, this. And he says, listen, get a few more guys in here. I want this money stamped. Is this money over here stamped yet? He says, no. He took like, you know, $200 off. He said, go buy pizza and beer for everybody.
Wow, this is
the statute of limitations on stuff that went on back then is over, and it's good enough for me to say what we said. I'm not naming any names. I'm just saying you don't know what it was. You don't know who the zone commander was. But you know these things went on. You know, and that's what it was. You know, but radio car confessions. Yeah, that, you know what? That wouldn't be a bad show. Just even if it was like a reality show. You know, because it's stranger than fiction. You know, some of the stuff that you saw, you can't make it up. You just can't make it up. I mean, it's amazing. And like I said, you got to be, most times you tell these stories now, people will say, this guy, he's either nuts or he's making it up, because that could never have happened. Well, I don't have to tell you, this, whatever I'm telling you happened. I mean, it was just amazing. especially down there, you know. For how many years? For 36 years, the truth was covered up about Braithwaite running away, getting shot in the ass, losing her gun, and the off-duty cop, Dino Padilla, being shot with her gun.
Right.
And until I went on the radio and outed everything, you know, it was known, but it's never been made public. And I don't care. You want to come after me? Come after me. I really don't care, you know. But, you know, like I said, we you'd walk into some of those old pre-World War II buildings with, like, beautiful marble staircases, front and back staircases. Some of these apartments were six-bedroom apartments at one time. And, you know, you'd walk in and the cloud of cordite and gun smoke was just everywhere. And the blood was just, I mean, rolling down the staircases like it was Niagara Falls, you know, amazing. And, you know, how many times have we seen the guy on, or the guy or the girl on TV, you know, I stabbed him and, you know, well, he dead. What do you mean he's dead? He never died before when I stabbed. We actually had a woman say that to us. She said, what do you mean he's dead? I stabbed that MF four or five times before, he never died. Well, he's dead now. So she said, come on, tell him to get up. He's not dead. I know he's not dead. Sure enough. That, but yeah, you know, a lot of the stuff that went on down there, you know, it like you said, truth stranger than fiction. You know, you had in the middle of the 4-1, you had a cloistered convent for nuns who have taken a vow of silence. Can you imagine in the middle of Hunts Point, okay, walled up, beautiful gardens inside. Not a monastery. It's a
convent
for nuns. For nuns. And you know, with all the trucks that would come down from Hunts Point, the truck robbers would fix the lights to make the truck stop, and that they break into the back of the truck and steal whatever they could steal, whether it was fruits or vegetables. The meat market was further down on the other side of Hunts Point, and when they catch them, you know, this was evidence, but the district attorney's office in the Bronx made a deal with the 4-1 and this cloistered nunnery for once it was documented what it was and put on the vouchers, that was it would be released, and we would go take the fruits and the vegetables and the meat and take it up to the cloistered front door. You'd ring the bell and they would come, and it wasn't a nun who took the vow of silence in that. It'd be a groundskeeper, somebody, and they would say, oh, come in, thank you, want a cup of coffee or something? No, that's all right. We're very happy to drop this stuff off to you. And they were very happy. But it was amazing to think that this little sanctuary is in the middle of such a crime-infested area. It's just amazing. But, you know, and the pimps They weren't even as brave as the girls. The girls got locked up, and they were like, yeah, okay, so what? We got locked up. The pimps, I remember one guy, his name was Goldie, because he had gold teeth. He would cry. Come on, man, let me go. Girls, this is the guy that's, like, protecting you out on the street? Are you kidding me? Come on. Get a real man, for Christ's sake. This is ridiculous. This guy's a weasel, you know.
Wow.
And, you know, and some of the girls, I mean, and there were some fresh girls off the bus from Syracuse. Syracuse was apparently a big town where they would come down from. And there was one girl, I remember, she was very, very, very pretty blonde. I mean, this girl could have been a movie star. And she's out walking the streets. And, you know, they always knew, all the girls knew, look, if you knew that there was a gun in the point, okay, you better stop somebody and tell them, okay? And if you did, then you got a week's grace when the sweep would come. You wouldn't get locked up. You know, that was your payback, okay? Look, you gave us the gun. You get a week to do whatever you want to do. But this girl, she was gorgeous. I mean, this is a girl that could probably have commanded back then $1,000 a night down in Manhattan at a high-priced hotel. And sure enough, it wasn't 3 months later, they threw her out of the back of a speeding van at about 90 miles an hour, and there was nothing left of her. She was hit on Bruckner Boulevard. What a waste. I mean, really, what a waste. It was amazing. But what went on down there with those girls and everything else. Looks like our music is up, huh?
Yep. Joe, that was some great stories. That was our first episode of RMP Confessions. But this is Peter Skustan for Walter UQ and Joe Johnson telling everybody, you can make a difference. Go out and make it. So long, everybody.
Edwards for 7-5 Radio. For those who work the streets and the jails, thanks for keeping us safe. So long, everybody.